The May 27th, 2014 meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission will come to order. It is approximately 1:30 p.m. We're in room 413 of the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. With me today as commissioners are Vice Chairman Chris Nelson and Commissioner Christy Feagan. I will first check the phone and then we'll approach the agenda. With us on the phone today, Stuart Tummerdahl.
Here, Mr. Chair.
Brian Bolche.
Here, Mr. Chair.
Troy Kwasniewski.
He's here, as well as Matt Hotzler from HD Electric.
The last name, Matt?
Hotzler, H-O-T-Z-L-E-R.
Thank you. Michelle Nielsen.
Here, Mr. Chair.
Betsy Pahut.
Here, Mr. Chair.
Betsy, how should I pronounce your last name?
Pahut, sir.
Pahut, thank you. Pam Bonrud.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Brad Howard.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Susan Stewart.
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
And Jason Topp.
Present, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone on the line whose name I did not call?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Thomas with Northwestern Energy. I'm here sitting next to Betsy Pahut. We also have the rest of the DSM staff here in Butte, Montana.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Decker with Northwestern as well.
Anyone else? Well, thank you, folks, for joining us. The first item on our agenda this afternoon is the status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints that have been received by the Commission. Consumer Affairs Director, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The Commission received a total of 49 contacts since the last report was prepared for the May 13, 2014 Commission meeting. 8 of the contacts involved telecommunications service, 17 of the contacts involved electric service, 3 of the contacts involved natural gas service, 2 contacts involved cell phone service, 10 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 1 contact was related to One Call, and 8 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 765 of the 787 complaints received in 2014 have been resolved.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of Ms. Gregg? Not, thank you. Administrative items. Docket AA-14-002 in the matter of the procedure for consideration of notices of exception, item 6 from the master metering prohibition requirements. The question before the Commission today: shall the Commission issue an order establishing the procedure by which the Commission will determine whether a system falls within the exception set forth in ARSD 2010-26-046? And if so, what procedure shall the Commission adopt in such order? Consul Smith, did you have anything that you wanted to say on this subject?
Not really. I mean, I think my memo pretty well lays out, you know, a possible set of verbiage. As I commented to you, to the commissioners, you know, another couple of things I thought of that maybe you could consider would be directing the executive director, which means staff, to present its analysis on or before the fifth day, if it's not going to open a docket, so commissioners could see what staff's analysis is, and it might aid them in making a decision. And another thought I had is if we get to the sixth day, that we make sure that we notify the developer that there will be no docket and he's free to, that he meets the exception. Just a couple possibilities, not mandatory. But
thank you. Any comments from the commissioners at this juncture? Commissioner Nelson.
I would be fully supportive of the administrative order clause as presented to us in Mr. Smith's memorandum, with the addition of the notification on that sixth day to the applicant. I would have assumed that would have happened anyway, but we can certainly put that in there. I think I'll move that.
Thank you. Just a little bit more discussion prior to that, since
okay.
Commissioner Fegan had asked to speak. Please go ahead.
Last time when we just decided to open a docket, I said I'd have probably two amendments, and one of them Mr. Smith has covered, which isn't currently in your discussion, Commissioner Nelson, is that the executive director would advise the commission on what the staff notification was. And I would say before the fifth day, because sometimes we're in meetings and we don't get to see that email that day. So it could be already out before we see that. And then the other day, deal is, and I think we need to ask staff, or I need to ask staff, is 5 days if for some reason staff is traveling at on business or in trainings, or if we're in a big hearing, is 5 days enough, or should we give a little bit more flexibility to the staff?
All three of those are great questions, and I've highlighted two of those. Especially the 5 business days, I wanted to have some discussion on that. I didn't know if that was just too short of a time frame or not. Thoughts on either of those subjects? I don't have a problem at all with the other two. It's just the 5 business days that I'm a little concerned with. Might be a little.
And maybe it would be worthwhile to see what Brian thinks, because he's usually the one that's doing this.
And if Mr. Rounds can remember, he's not always in that role. So think of staff in the future, too, when you look at that.
This is Brian Rounds for staff. I think on a case where we don't intend to put in front of the commission, I assume analysis would be pretty brief, so I don't think 5 days would be too much. If you want to go much less than 5 days, I think that's getting pretty tight with people's time.
Just for clarification, I was thinking 5 days might be too tight. I didn't want to shorten it at all, but thank you for your comments. Did you have anything else?
I guess one way to even amend that could be to, if staff is crunched for time, since we would be possibly notifying the developer, we could just ask the commission for a little bit of additional time to review before sending that notification.
Thank you. Further discussion? Questions? Commissioner Nelson.
Question for Commissioner Fegan. This notification that you're expecting the staff to do to the commission, at what would be the deadline for that?
At least a day before it goes out. So if we have to notify that, it says on or before the fifth day in this comment, I would say before.
So after 4 days.
Right.
So that would give staff 4 days, essentially.
And the other thing I was considering is maybe instead of 5, make it 7 days, just so you have another day in a week in case they're at a training or in case they're at a hearing. But that was just my thought when I was reviewing this.
If you were to lengthen it out to 7, then maybe the 5th day, that would give staff 1 extra day then. If, I agree that after 4, we'd about have to do it otherwise, and that's not much time, but who knows? A lot of the time, these have proven to be pretty darn cursory in terms of the complexity of it. You know, they either do or they don't have a...
I'm looking at a couple different paragraphs that have been written on this, and some of them refer to before the 5th day and sent on the 6th business day. Is that better language? I believe you wrote that one, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, that the 6th day was what I was thinking of, whatever a number of days you pick. If you know, Brian probably knows best how much time is wise. What I thought, though, is just we might as well, since we're doing this anyway, just formally have a notification to the developer provision if you want to. I mean, I think we're going to do it anyway, obviously. But I don't think it hurts for the commission to weigh in and say that's what we'd like to do.
Commissioner Feagin, is that something that you'd be comfortable with? If I was not comfortable when it said that on or before, let's see, I was looking at the 5th. I'm not uncomfortable with 7 days. Is that a problem for you, Commissioner?
Not a real problem. I mean, my intention is to move this along for the developer.
Right.
And so the less days, the better in my mind.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't oppose 7 days.
Commissioner Feagin, your thoughts on to make certain that there's time for the commissioners to receive notice? And we obviously will receive information on this the second that the executive director and the staff make a decision. So at that juncture, do you wish to say that they're to advise the commission within a certain honor before the 5th day, and if action hasn't been taken by the 7th day, then notice shall be given to the developer?
And even what Commissioner Nelson is saying, we would like to get these out quickly, and if they can get it out quicker, that would be great. And so maybe it's a day before they send out the notice or whatever, so we have 1 day to look at it. So it could be on the 3rd day or the 2nd day or whatever the case is.
All right.
But whatever you guys want to do, and just so we have a day to look at it before it's sent out, and try to give guidance to the staff that we'd like these done as quick as possible, but we understand sometimes there's circumstances.
I've got another question. So what is it you anticipate coming to us from staff? I mean, staff's going to say, yep, it's fine. The exemption is legit. What are you expecting them to send us?
You know, I don't know how they do the analysis. The only one that I remember is the Rapid City one, and they gave us an analysis of the, I think it was apartment building that was built by the technical school or School of Mines. And so I would expect the analysis to look similar to that.
I remember the docket, but I don't remember what the analysis was. I remember the arguments of the developer, but Brian, help me out. What did staff give us on that?
That was a different exception, Brian.
I can't remember that one. I can tell you what usually happens is the developer will say, we're looking for an exception, and we'll look at that rule and we'll say, does it meet any of these exemptions? And if they haven't provided data that says it does, then we ask for that data. So in some cases, you might ask for like plans of the building. But basically, we just try to make a determination that it has one of the systems that's exempt. And once we've figured that out, then that's where recommendation has been in the past.
So essentially, you're just going to tell us yes or no a day before you actually send it out.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that I could see anything other than that is if it does require a some back and forth or a data request or something.
We're ready for a motion then?
Mr. Chairman, I move that our general counsel write an order to adopt the memorandum that he has written with the amendment that the executive director to advise the commission. I don't know exactly how to write this, but before, 1 day before notification goes out to the developer, and that staff can have a maximum of 7 days.
Staff, you'll be writing that motion. And do you have any, do you understand it?
I believe so. So, yeah, pardon me. My mic is under my book here.
All right.
But, yeah, no, I think I get what you want. You want to stretch it out to 7. And I think one advantage of that, too, is that then puts a weekend in there, which adds a little time for those times when Brian is on his endless ice pick voyages. I guess they're about over, though. But All right. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Ice pick, by the way, for the audience, does not refer to venturing forth to the north to go fishing in the ice. Has to do with transmission systems and acronyms that are used in our business. Is there a discussion on the motion? If not, Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Brings us to electric dockets, EL 14027, in the matter of a request for approval of an electric service territory boundary agreement, and we have several of these dockets. I will read off the name of the parties who are involved and ask if they have any questions or anything that they feel compelled to share with the commission in regards to those territory agreements. And then I will ask Mr. Henry first if he has any comments on any of the dockets. We have docket EL 14027 that I just read, EL 14028 in the matter of the request for approval of an electric service territory boundary agreement, EL 14032, request for approval of electric service territory boundary agreement, EL 14036 in the matter of request for approval on electric service territory boundary agreement. And I'll turn to Mr. Henry. Do you have anything to address the commission on these items?
I do not. All companies for all the dockets have signed a service territory agreement, so they agree to the boundaries and the legal descriptions.
And you don't find any problems with any of them?
I do not.
Thank you. I'll read off the names of the parties then, and if you have something that you wish to share with us, please do so. Beetle Electric. Kingsbury Electric. Central Electric.
Mr. Chair, Brian Balci, the operations manager. We concur with David Henry's findings.
Thank you. HD Electric.
We're good with everything.
And Sioux Valley Electric.
We also concur.
Thank you. Is there anyone that I missed? If not, may I have a motion on items 1 through 4?
I'll move an EL 14-027, 028, 032, and 036 that the Commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreements.
Thank you. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none. Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. EL 14-041 in the matter of the joint request for service rights exception between Sioux Valley Energy, formerly known as Southwestern Electric Cooperative Incorporated, and Southeastern Electric Cooperative Incorporated. I'll start with Sioux Valley Electric.
I guess we don't have anything further other than what's in there.
All right. It's pretty self-explanatory. Southeastern, did you have anything? Mr. Carney.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman Hansen. This is Darren Carney for staff. Like the intro that you read said, on May 2nd, Sioux Valley submitted a service rights exception agreement for commission approval. Staff completed a review of that agreement, made some recommendations to Sioux Valley Energy and Southeastern to specify or clarify that the service rights exception would stay with the service itself and not the owner, which the initial agreement kind of read as. They did make that modification. I want to thank them for putting in the time to do that. After that modification that they filed, staff believes that it should be approved by the commission. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
And thank you. Ms. Edwards, did you have anything on this?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 14-041, move that the Commission approve the requested service rights exception.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
And I believe the commission always appreciates when two electric companies work together for the provider. This happens to be the former Senator Bones' grandson. So in my territory where I grew up.
And I was a seatmate of Senator Bones when I was in the Senate. He was a good guy. We drove back and forth quite a bit. We hunted together. We even slept together in Motel 6 when we were when we were goose hunting.
Strike that from the diet.
question.
When we were goose hunting. He was a very, very good friend, very dear friend. And he was chair of the Senate Taxation, and I was chair of the Government Audit and Operations and vice chair. So where I was chair, he was vice. Where I was vice, really, really, really great guy. So thank you for getting me off on that, Commissioner Fegan. Commissioner, any further discussion? That's not necessary. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Gas and Electric, GE 12-001, is this to be deferred? Or is I understood there might be a Northwestern one that is being deferred. Is this one?
Mr. Chairman, this is Pam Bonrud.
Yes, Ms. Bonrud.
Yes, we had sent a request in Friday afternoon asking for your consideration to defer till the June 10th PUC meeting that is scheduled, mainly because gathering up some of the information related to the data request took us a bit longer than we anticipated, and we had some troubles trying to submit some information at one point, so we had to go back and redo it, and we thought to allow the commission appropriate enough time to review what's been submitted so far, we'd ask for a deferral.
Thank you very much. Any objection to the deferral? Seeing none, without opposition to the deferral, we will defer GE 12-001 to the June 10th, 2014 commission meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Natural gas, NG 14-003, in the matter of the filing by Mid-American Energy Company for approval of its 2013 economic development activities and 2014 proposed budget. The question before the commission is, today shall the commission approve Mid-American's 2013 economic development activities report and 2014 proposed budget? Mid-American, is there anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. My name is Susan Stewart. I'm an attorney for Mid-American. I have Brad Howard with me, who is our economic development person for South Dakota. Today on your agenda, you have our regular annual report of the results of the prior year, 2013, and the budget for the current year, 2014. This is a similar report to ones you've looked at before, with one exception. One of the past few years, some comments were made about the level of staffing expense in this report, and we are in the process of reducing the staffing expense, and we are replacing that with more direct support to our South Dakota communities. Brad Howard can answer any specific questions about our program, and we would ask you to approve this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Carney.
Thanks, Chairman Hansen. This is Darren Carney for staff. I'll only add that recovery of economic development expenses was agreed upon by the Commission and Mid-American in docket NG01-010, which allows up to $100,000 of economic development expenses to be equally paid for by shareholders and ratepayers. As such, Mid-American recovers $50,000 of economic development expenses from ratepayers. In 2013, Mid-American spent the entire amount recovered from ratepayers, so there is no carryover needed for next year's budget. The proposed budget is consistent with past budgets, and as Ms. Stewart noted, they are reducing the amount of staffing expenses in order to support more economic assistance and business attraction incentives. Staff recommends the Commission approve Mid-American's report on the 2013 economic development activities and 2014 budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carney. Any questions by the Commission? Commissioner Nelson?
One question. It is a follow-up on Ms. Stewart's last comment about reducing the staff time that's charged against this plan, and I definitely think that you're moving in the right direction. In the Section 1 overview, you said that it will reduce the expenditure prospectively until only 50% of staff time is reflected in the budgeted expense. Looking at the 2014 proposed budget, you've got $45,400 listed. Is that 50%, or is that simply moving towards 50%?
Go ahead, Brad. I think that's...
We're actually lowering the amount of staffing dollars that we're including in this report. We are going to keep moving down. The expenditures we have are going to be more than what we've expended in the past, but we are going to report less of the labor in our report to the staff and the PC. Does that make any sense?
Well, maybe I didn't ask it right. Is $45,400, is that 50% of your staff expense or more or less?
It'll be less.
Less than 50%? Very good. Thank you.
Commissioner Fegan?
Just like Commissioner Nelson already said, we certainly appreciate you spending more money on programs. There's two programs that you increased. One of them is economic assistance by a little bit over, I think, $5,000, and then the other one is business attractions for about $5,200. Can you explain what you're going to do there?
Well, this is Brad Howard. There's a couple of things that we've considered on that. And number one is that I'm hitting the towns harder with our local partner fundings that we have available to them. We used to have a booklet that we passed out, and quite honestly, I think what happened is I would take it out and explain it to them, and everybody would shake their head yes and say, you know, that they're going to use this a lot, and then it goes on the shelf and they don't see it again. And so what I've prepared for them is I've gone through all the programs and just kind of made a spreadsheet with a one-line item explaining each of the programs, so they have one sheet that they can keep on their desk or on the wall behind the desk, and they can see what programs we have available. And I continually remind them of what they have there for them. So that one of the we've already that in just that little thing, it's increased our customers' usage of this program already this year. And then a couple of the other things that we've considered is last year we were approached about a South Dakota equity fund that's being proposed in the state of South Dakota, and we're interested in help funding that project, and also maybe participation in the governor's Buffalo Roundup and the governor's Pheasant Hunt as a way to bring in more opportunities.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Is there a motion?
I'll move in NG14-003 that the Commission approve Mid-America's 2013 Economic Development Activities Report and the 2014 proposed budget.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hansen votes aye. Excuse me. The motion carries. Telecommunications TC14-014 in the matter of the approval of an intercarrier comp bill and keep amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation doing businesses at CenturyLink QC and T-Mobile USA Incorporated. The question before the commission is, today shall a commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement? CenturyLink, Jason Topp.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. We've filed this amendment for approval. It simply seeks to implement some FCC requirements associated with the interconnection, intercarrier compensation decisions out of the FCC, and we'd ask that it be approved.
Thank you very much. Mr. Paulson.
Kristen will.
Oh,
thanks.
Ms. Edwards.
Thank you, Kristen Edwards, for staff. The amendment does, as Mr. Topp indicated, just bring the companies into compliance with, not that they were out of compliance, but is in compliance with the intercarrier compensation bill and keep rules in Section 252. It was properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain any discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed, and staff recommends approval.
Thank you very much. Questions by the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion? This is where we are basically obligated to pass a bill and keep.
I'll move in TC 14-014. The commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Discussion on that motion? Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. We have two items on electric as addendum to the agenda. EL 12-054, in the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company for approval of its 2013 transmission cost recover eligibility and rate adjustment. Question before the commission is, today shall the commission approve Otter Tail's request for an extension to July 1, 2014 to file a 2013 annual report of jurisdictional earnings. Additionally, we have EL 13-029, in the matter of the petition of Otter Tail Power Company for approval of its 2014 transmission cost recovery eligibility and rate adjustment. Question before the commission is, today shall the commission approve Otter Tail's request for an extension to July 1st, 2014 to file a 2013 annual report of jurisdictional earnings. Otter Tail.
Mr. Chair, Stuart Tomerdahl here with Otter Tail. Just to give you a little context, our regulatory accounting group is it's been in the process of putting in a different system that calculates the cost of service, and there's just a little bit more programming that they're finishing up, and we just felt it was going to be too tight to get everything done and filed by the 1st of June, and so thus the request for a little bit more time to get that completed, vetted, and the information gathered so we can put the report together and get it filed.
Any, well, let's see, excuse me. I have Mr. Melhoff and Ms. Edwards and Ms. Kramer. Who's on first?
Thank you. This is Brittany Melhoff for staff, and staff has no objection to the company's request. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Melhoff. Any questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? Are there motions? I will move that the commission approve Otter Tail's request for an extension to July 1st, 2014 to file a 2013 annual report of jurisdictional earnings for dockets EL 12-054 and EL 13-029. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to support the motion. I just want to say thank you to the company for recognizing the importance of thoroughly testing their new system and making sure that the numbers are right the first time, and very prudent move on their part to request this.
Okay. Good point. Any further discussion? Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. Items as announcements. Commissioners and staff will attend the 2014 Mid-American Regulatory Conference annual meeting. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be Tuesday, June 10, 9:30 a.m. in room 413 in the State Capitol Building. A hearing in docket EL 13-028 will be held June 10 through 12, beginning at 1 p.m. June 10 in room 413 at the State Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. Commission meetings are scheduled for June 24 and July 8. There is no further business before the commission. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries.